souls in the world you feel. Let me address you, babe. Open up your mind and just rest. I'm about to let you know you made me so.
Okay, welcome to Big Little Questions. As always, the first request is that if you are listening, you send me a message, both because I like it when you say hi, but also as kind of a sound check. Very excitingly, this show is, well, they're almost always live, but the show is in person. Ted is sitting on my bed, not a foot away from me, holding my substantial stuffed cow, so it's really exciting, but also it's like a setup that's different, so let me know if you can hear me. Okay, also one more peek behind the curtains, just because, well, Ted chose, okay, they can hear, Bachi says substantial stuffed cow, so that I would say it's confirmation. Ted chose an opening song It, usually I think of the opening song as my, like, moment to, like, ooh, like, chill and breathe and, like, stretch my arms and, like, think of what I'm going to say in introduction, but Ted's opening song was 33 seconds. So if you thought that it was repeating itself and that we might have played it thrice, that is correct. We did play it three times. Okay, this is Big Little Questions with Didi Kleonski. This is, it's Valentine's Day.
Wow. It's Valentine's Day.
Also the day that the, like, I think Native Hawaiian stabbed Captain Cook in the neck or something.
Fuck
like that.
Yeah. Yes.
So, like, also Valentine's Day.
Wow.
And
may he rest in piss.
May he rest in piss. Wow. This is gonna be so hard to not just, like, laugh. I'm already hot.
Me too.
Good thing the window's open. Yeah, Big Little Questions is a show that I have done maybe, like, most of the weeks of the last year, and it is a show where we talk about questions that, primarily questions that are from my journal. I try to write a question every day, on average, and then I wrote those up into a document, and when I have people on the show, what we're doing is we are going through the document and choosing questions and then talking about them. And it's really fun. And also this is only the second time that I've done a live show in person. So, and the other time was also with someone sitting on my bed. So that is also fun. But so just, like, very fun to, like, be here with you specifically also, because it's so fun to be here with you in general. And really excited to have my friend Ted here. You look like a shark when you do that. Very cute.
I'm so happy to be here.
Wow. Okay, well, I'll just first start by telling the story that I told earlier today when Lily, my roommate, was like, how long have you guys known Ted? Something, something. And I was like, well, I just have, like, a crystal clear memory of Passover 2019, which is when we met, and we are friends with your dear roommate, Avia, and Avia was coming to our Passover Seder, and Avia was like, can I bring my roommate, and we were like, yes, or what, yeah, we were like, yes, and then, like, in you walked, like, with your flowing golden hair, and you were just, like, honey personified, like, you were just, like this, like, sweet entity of, like, sweetness with, I can't over-describe the, like, flowiness of the golden locks that were just, like, cascading. And it was just, like, this wild moment of, like, you know when sometimes you meet someone and it's not just like, oh, you become friends and then you're like, haven't we known each other forever? It just was like then hard to conceive of a world where like knowing you wasn't like in the fabric of it. And I feel that way even now because you are another example of someone who like, I don't like talk to you for hours every single day or even hours most days, although I am privileged to be doing that today. But I do think of you as someone who is like woven into the fabric of like my very life in a very real way and in an even more real way because of the like the things that you are most woven into the fabric of are like Hyde Park and the Jews and the lake. And those are like literally whenever people are like, oh, like what are your communities in Chicago, I'm like Hyde Park and the Jews and the lake, and like you are so integral in all of those. And then the last thing that I'll say, maybe I thought of this because I kept thinking of you as the one with the glowing mane of locks, that then I was like, oh, you also are literally the keeper of the keys of Shul. Like, you have the Shul keys. That was true when it was in our house, and that's true now that it's somewhere else. And you are, like, one, Hagrid, I guess, because you are the keepers of the keys and the grounds, but also you are just, like, you show up early and often and you like make things happen and make it happen. So for those reasons and all the reasons, touch, wow. I'm so happy to have you in my bed. And now whatever you want to say, you can say.
We're clasping hands now for those of you at home,
and the substantial cow is still in Ted's arms, which I hope will remain true.
Oh my god, I remember that Passover Seder so intensely because it was the first, like, wow. It was the first one that I went to, like, when I knew I wanted to be Jewish. Mm-hmm. And
I just learned that today from Naomi. I hadn't known that before.
Yeah. Wow, yes. And I, like, that was, like, probably the best way to have a Passover Seder, you know, before Passover Seder's turned into something much different.
My god, that was literally the last.
That was the last one.
The last supper.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Wow. And I think, like, wow, I agree with what you said, that this has been, like, a long time coming, I think. Yeah, you feel woven into the fabric of my life in a way that is difficult to describe because we're doing, like, the living together, the neighborhood neighbors thing.
Yeah.
But is more than just neighbors.
Yeah.
It's like the tapestry of Judaism and the lake and Hyde Park.
Yeah, wow, tapestry. Should have been a Carole King song to start. Wow. More than that, 33 seconds.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. Oh my god. Wow. Okay, well, also just because now two people have spoken, if you want to tell me if you can hear both of us, that's great. It seems like you can hear both of us. Cool. Oh, one more thing I wanted to say, kind of a logistical thing, but also a fun thing, is that sometimes people message me during the show, which I love, and sometimes people don't message me during the show because they think it'll be distracting, and I want to say, you should message me during the show. I might not look at it during the show, especially because Ted is here on my bed, but we might also look at them, and because, like, I don't know, sometimes it gives me other questions to ask and other things, so don't be like, oh, I don't want to distract you. Like, we want to hear your show notes as you have them, if you have them, whatever. Okay.
Okay,
just me, you, and the substantial
team. Wow, wait, we also did yoga together.
Oh, yeah, like yesterday. Last night? Yeah, we did.
And that was, I feel like that was a perfect warm-up here, because we're just talking, we're just deep breathing, and we're together.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah, it was really fun to do yoga with you yesterday. Also, because I've been mostly in the common areas in your house, more than, like, in your area in your house, and so to see your background was really lovely and fun. Okay, so what we're gonna do now is we're gonna do a little thing that I thought I would do before the show, but I didn't, because that's just how it goes, we're going to choose between these two, right?
Yeah.
Okay, do you have one that you're hoping it will be, or no? Sorry to keep asking you that 100,000 times.
I forget what the questions
here,
are.
They're here.
Oh, man. No, I'm happy
Great.
With all
okay.
of them.
Okay, amazing. Me too. Oh!
Wow! Okay,
all right. So as between these, I know, we'll pull back the other curtain in a second, but which one do you want to start with?
Okay, I think... You choose.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. We're going to start with your question.
Okay, great.
So this is a fun week where in the pool of questions that we were choosing from were some questions that Ted contributed. And also there was a moment where, Ted, you were like, oh, I don't know, I feel weird if they're all my questions, which number one, they weren't. And number two, I was like, yeah, but all questions are literally the same. Like, there's no, what is my question or your question? Like, there's just questions, and Whoa. They're also all the same. Okay, so specifically, the question that we're going to start with is a question that Ted brought to the proverbial table, or shall we say the bed. And can you read it out loud?
Yes. How do we survive the apocalypse is the question.
How do we survive the apocalypse? We will try to also be good about repeating it throughout. Mm-hmm. So, well, okay. Usually what I ask people is, like, what is your, like, opening statement on this question? Like, what are the like, initial things that this question, in both an origin and not answers, but a, like, both where does this question come from for you, and what are your, like, beginnings of your thoughts on it? Does that
yes.
feel like a good place to start?
Yeah, I kind of almost want to turn it on you and ask you those questions as well.
You can turn it on me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Like now?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want.
Okay. It's funny because that's what I thought of, because I was like, oh, it's your question. I should start. But perfect.
Yeah.
So that's synchronous. Good. Okay, but also, it's hard. That now I feel like it's hard when I give other people to do. So, taste of my own medicine. How do we survive the apocalypse? I think that the reason, I guess the way that I'll start is, like, the reason that this made it to the top of the question list for me, I mean, for both of us it did, but for me, is because, like, I joked a second ago about, like, all questions collapse into each other and they're actually all the same question, but it really does feel like so many other questions on this list are actually asking some version of this question. And, like, one question that ended up not on the short list, but that made it, you know, pretty far up, was a question about, like, how do people decide to have kids? And I was like, I don't know, Ted, like, which one of these do we keep on? And you were like, isn't that kind of the same thing as how do we survive the apocalypse? And, like, that's one facet of the question. And also, like, all of my questions, so many of my questions are about, like, this, like, I don't know, I guess angsty is kind of a pejorative way to say it about myself, but, like, this, like, angsty, like, meaning-making questions of, like, what will I do with my time? And, like, will I ever figure it out? And whatever. But also, like, I think to me all of those questions are also dimensions of the, like, how to survive the apocalypse question. I'm just moving it to the center of our screen. And, yeah, so those are some initial things about, like, why it made it to the top for me. And then... I think, okay, well, it's funny because right before you came here, I took a rapid test and we're sitting here without masks, and then we, like, gave each other a hug and you
yeah.
were like, ah, like touch, oh my God. And then we read this poem that's on my wall that's about like touch and like physicality, or like
the kingdom of touching.
Yeah, the kingdom of touching. Oh, why do you already know it by heart? and I think that a large part of my answer to this question also boils down to that, like, the kingdom of touching, the kingdom of the disappearing, comma, things. Mm. And one last thing about that I'll say before I ask you the same is, like, at the beginning of the pandemic, I think maybe I've said this on here before, I've certainly said it in other places, but at the beginning of the pandemic, really the thing that, like, it was, you know, depressing and scary in so many ways, but the thing that I remember so viscerally was that I would lie awake in my, you know, depressed insomnia, and the specific thing that I would be thinking about and trying to approximate in my mind was, like, the feeling of a hug, was, like, the feeling of, like, being inside of a hug with a person.
Yeah.
And so I think that in the moment that in one of the moments that has most acutely felt like capital T, capital A, the apocalypse in my life, being, you know, March 2020, like, the thing that was the answer to how do we survive this was, like, oh, I, like, want, I, like, need a hug.
Yeah.
And I, like, actually, I need a lot of them. And yeah. I need them now and always. So that, those are some, yeah. Oh, don't squeeze me! those are some thoughts. And I guess either you could start with either of those questions or, like, a bounce off of the things that I said.
Wow.
Whatever you want.
Wow. You mean those first?
Either one of the first two questions of, like, where does this come from and what are your initial answers, or, like, a bounce from there. But I want to hear the first two. I want to hear, like,
Okay. I guess, okay, so the question is, how do we survive the apocalypse? I started asking myself this question when I was pretty young. I was, like, really into saving the environment. Heavy air quotes. When I was, like, very young.
Like, in, like, an ozone way?
Yeah, like, I was, I was printing articles online about the ingredients of deodorant and showing them to my parents, who were, like, not as interested in it as I was. But in that plucky sort of, like, we can do it.
We can pull together.
Yeah. And then mental illness happened and it became something way different. I read this book that was, like, not good. I should not have read it in the time that I did. It was, like, yeah, it was not a good book. I don't recommend it. I'm not going to give you the title because I don't want people to look it up.
Great. It's, love that.
Yeah. But let's just say it was, like, a doomer philosophy kind of thing. So that's where I came from with it. It followed me all the way through college. I became, like, very fascinated. So I'm not, like, a horror movie type person, but I do, like, feel a deep connection to horror. I think there's a grief that is hiding in horror that just is, like, trying so desperately to be expressed. But I can't fucking sit through a horror movie, so I have to, like, watch it with the audio, like, off. I like wrote papers about, like, zombie apocalypse movies for classes and stuff, and I wrote my BA somewhat about the apocalypse-ish. Well, it was one of the thoughts that was, like, pinging around in my head. Mm.
Wait, what did you major in? Or study, or whatever you people call it here?
Oh, man. I did theater and gender studies. Yeah. I made video games for my BA project. Yeah. It was about, like...
You're so full of little boxes.
Little
that
boxes.
I don't even know about.
I know. I feel like this is, yeah. This question has a lot of other little boxes in it. I'm coming at it from I've lived in this question for, like, over a decade. I'm, like, at this point, I'm overjoyed to get to just talk about it with people. Yeah, so that's where I came from.
And
how, yeah. how do I
or
feel,
like,
about it?
Not how, and Ted, what's the answer to the question?
Wow.
You've thought about this for a decade now. Tell us the answer. But yes, like, what are, like, or maybe a different way to ask that question is, like, at different stages, or to the extent that you want to talk about this, at different stages of the last decade, like, what have been moments where you felt like I'm very far from an answer, and or moments where you felt like, oh, I'm, like, what's that thing in math? An asymptote? I'm, like,
yeah.
I'm never, like, gonna get there, but I'm, like, I am approaching something that, like, feels like an answer. Like, either one or both of those things.
Yeah. I will say I've never felt closer to an answer.
To clarify. You've never felt closer than you do right now, or you've never felt closer than at any other point?
Than I do right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think, like,
whoa.
Yeah, and maybe it's just because I'm having a good week.
Like, Baruch Hashem.
Yeah,
great.
truly. That can be true, and yeah.
Yeah.
tell me about feeling close to an answer?
Okay. I think, so one thing that kind of like popped into my head when I was thinking about this the other day was, you know, I was talking to another person about this recently because they're doing a project about the apocalypse and like what people are trying to do, you know, like what life decisions people are making. Mm. And I said something off the top of my head that was just like, I think the scariest thing about living in the apocalypse is that all we have is each other, you know? You look around at the people with you and that's it, you know? Like time passes, people are gonna die, people are gonna be born, and that's not gonna change, actually. You know, you can think about the world ending. You can like wallow and cry, and there are days to just wallow and cry about it, but you know, life is going to continue to happen, and so thinking about like survival, keeping people surviving. Yeah, I don't know. I've also been thinking about this from like a Jewish perspective.
Say more,
well.
Ted.
Jesus, I'm sorry.
No, say more.
Okay.
And I have two specific follow-up questions.
Wow, okay, I love the follow-ups. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so my thought was like the... and I've been... Okay, so... When the Second Temple was destroyed, right? And the rabbis were just like, this is... I'm sorry. Didi just put her head in her hands and just, like, flailed on the bed.
Go
I'm
on.
So sorry.
No, I'm in awe. Go
okay.
on. Keep talking.
Second
Temple destroyed.
Yeah. And the rabbis were like, oh my God. Our entire life just crumbled around us. What are we going to do? And, like, there were the people, I think there were the Essenes, the people who were like, the Messiah is coming right now, and this warrior prince is gonna like lead us into battle. We're gonna defeat the Romans. We're gonna go right back to where we were, and it's gonna be great. And they go into battle, and they get slaughtered. Right. My thought was that like these rabbis, you know, they had centuries to kind of compile their thoughts together, and that's something that's really rare, I think. It feels really rare, at least, in the culture that I live in. Like, yeah, I can imagine that they were watching those people that were, like, believing in apocalypticism. That was, like, the name of the, like... the theology that they were...
The ism.
Yeah, the ism that they had. Yeah. These people who were like, convinced that you know, there was, like, one good and one evil, and the good would prevail, and they were just dying. I can just imagine that the rabbis saw, like, so much death, and they were like, no more. We're done. We're just gonna try to figure out how to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
How to keep our people, like, alive. And maybe someday, like, we'll learn, like, how to flourish. I don't think we have learned how to flourish. I just want to say that.
Let the record show.
Yeah. But I think, like seeing how we can, like, have, like, community actualization, not self-actualization, but, like, community actualization over generations, L'Dor V'Dor, you know, like, yeah. I hear L'Dor V'Dor and I'm thinking, like, survive! I don't know, yeah,
well,
I don't know.
This okay, so many things, but one, this reminds me of the other day, just, like, literally, yes, 2 days ago, we were walking, and, like, you were like, do you know about the Blackfoot hierarchy of needs? And I said no, and you said you should explain it better, but basically, like, something,
yeah.
Maslow went to the, like, the Blackfoot tribe and learned about their hierarchy of needs and then, like, went and flipped it and, like, was wrong about everything.
Yeah, no.
And that's the, like, dogma that we've absorbed.
Exactly.
And so when you said, like, just, I mean, if you want, we can go more down that, although I don't know more, but, like, when you said community actualization, like, that's what that made me think about, was, like, that being a, like, more integral part of the pyramid than it is.
Absolutely, yes.
In the pyramid that we've absorbed.
Yes. Yeah. I could talk just a tiny bit about that. So I think the Maslow's hierarchy of needs is bullshit. You can throw it out. We've known this for a long time. But, like, self-actualization... Okay.
That's good. You're good.
Yeah. Self-actualization is at the bottom. Yeah. And community, like, actualization, I don't actually remember the word for it, is, like, where you allow people to, like, take care of each other. People are, like... nobody's getting left behind, right? Everybody's achieving self-actualization in the present moment. And then the top of the pyramid is actually, like, how do you perpetuate that across, like, generations to the future? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's all.
Okay, wait, I have several
Take
thoughts. Number one is that there's, well, what you said about the, like, people who were, like, what was the, they were like, there is one good and there is one evil and good will prevail, I think is what you said?
Yeah, the people who were, like, into the apocalypticism, the dogma. Yeah, the belief that there was, like, a plan.
Right.
You know, and that...
Right.
And that,
well, I was going to say that it makes me, like, it makes me think about there's, I'm sure other people have written lots about this. I know Miriam Kaba has, but the person who I know this best from is Rebecca Solnit, who, writes about, in her book Hope in the Dark, she writes about, like, she doesn't use these words, but in the words that you were just using, it's, like, both the belief in, like, bad will prevail and the belief that the good will prevail are both their own types of, like, apocalypticism.
Yes.
Because if you have faith, if you, like, don't have any faith and you're, like, everything is bad no matter what, then you, like, have no accountability to yourself to, like, do something about it and about the world and in the world. And if you also are, like, good will prevail, then you also are not, like, you're, like, oh, it'll happen regardless of what I do. So you also are not, like, don't have to be accountable to yourself and the world around you to, like, do the things. And so she talks about that as the, like, okay, I literally always want to say the word dialectic here, but I just don't know what it means. She talks that about as being what, like, hope is in the space of those things, blah, blah, blah. So that's one thought I have. But I also had two questions from, like, the initial thing that you were saying, which I would like to ask if you give your permission.
Oh, my God.
Okay, one of them... Also, I saw that Bachi said, read us the poem. So if you want to read us a poem in a moment, then you should do that.
Yeah.
But, okay, the two questions that I have are, number one... For you, our number one is the apocalypse, like, capital T, capital A, how do we survive the apocalypse? Like, well, actually, number one, is it capitalized? Like, I keep saying that because that's how I think in my head, but, like, is that a capital thing or is that, like, more quotidian than a, like, the apocalypse? And specifically the way that I wrote that in this question is the apocalypse personal? Is question number one.
Ooh, okay, can you repeat the questions?
Is the apocalypse personal? And or is it capitalized or is it like a thing that happened that is like continually part of our mundane everyday life? That's my first question.
Okay. I'll answer the first question.
Okay. And then I have another.
Okay. Awesome.
But also the poem.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like we'll read the poem between this question and the next one.
Yeah. Perfect. Good transition.
Okay.
You're so
sweet.
Smart.
You're so smart. Okay. To answer your question, I think it depends on who you ask. For some people, the apocalypse happened 400 years ago.
For you.
Right? For me...
Yeah. I mean, but also for other people, but also for you. The apocalypse.
I think I'm in the camp of the people who are, like, the apocalypse is over already, and there are people who are just in denial about it. Like, to me, that's kind of, like, the horror movie angle of this. Like, this is the grief that needs to be, like, uncovered. The apocalypse, like, the word apocalypse just means uncovering.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's Revelation, right? Like, the Book of Revelations, it's just a...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, I think, like, it's a thing that, like, is hidden in plain sight. And,
whoa.
And the, like, the more I've been able to accept that it's just here,
whoa.
My anxiety about it has just evaporated, you know?
When, okay, So many things. Number one, when you said a couple minutes ago, you were like, I'm close, or like at the beginning, you were like, I think I'm closer, I've never been closer to an answer. Is that correlated time-wise with the acceptance of it's here and so my anxiety about it has gone down? Like, are those two things? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, wow.
But also the people around me having kids.
Uh-huh.
In the, yeah, like,
has made
very
it feel
recently,
more or less
more
like the apocalypse?
Closer to understanding.
Oh, closer to understanding, not closer to the, okay. I want you to say more about that, but the other question I wanted to ask, which I at least will just put out there, but we don't have to go down that. But when you said the image of the, I'm glad you brought back the horror movie, because when you first talked about the image of the horror movie and how you watched it like on low volume or like you can't actually sit through it, whatever. I like the thought that I had, I wonder if something comes to mind for this. Like, is there a real life analog to that thing, to the experience of like watching the horror movie on silent or on low volume? And what would that, like, what would that be?
Is there a real life version of watching the horror movie on no volume?
Yeah.
As opposed to full volume?
Yes. Yeah.
Whoa. I don't know.
Yeah. Me neither. Yeah. Okay, great. Good
that
answer.
That was an excellent, that was a great question, because it
makes me think about two things, about, like, there's one interpretation of that that's a, like, we can only absorb so much and we are in a constant barrage of, like, the catastrophe cascade, and like we actually can't absorb it all, and so if you can like mute some part of it, like that's actually something that like allows you to take in the rest of it and the like grief and the arc of the rest of it. But on the other hand, it's like, oh, is that, are we just like numbing ourselves and we are like, oh, I can't, I'm too fragile to take this in, whatever. Okay, you're having a thought.
No. I think yes to exactly what you said, and I just had the thought that like I think it's also in order to like avoid the things that are very obviously going to trigger you,
uh-huh,
right? Like, the audio in a horror film is, like, 95% of what scares you, right? And so, like, if you turn the audio off, it's like, okay, yeah, I can have this elevated experience about it. I can understand it even while I'm, like, in the middle of watching it, right? Yeah, I don't know.
I remember having the conversation with Tali Ginsberg a couple years ago. We were sitting in Dollop on 55th and University, like, in the bottom of North, and we were talking, I don't remember how we started talking about this, but we were talking about, like, I think maybe that was the first time I heard someone talk about, like, trauma porn, and like, Tully's, you know, of it, like, Tully's an organizer and a brilliant person and a thoughtful person and blah, blah, and that was, like, I think maybe there was someone in my life who I, like, thought was, like, not so involved in things, and also was like, I don't read the news, but in kind of a like, like, I don't live in the world way, like, blah, blah, blah. and I had like such strong convictions about this, and then Tali was like, yeah, I don't read the news, like, I don't like regularly read the news, I like know what's happening in the world. And I was like, it blew my mind, because I was like, oh, Tali, who like really is like on the ground and in the heartbeat of the things, thinks this. And so then we had this conversation about trauma porn and how you don't actually like need to feed yourself those things, and actually that contributes to the numbing and blah 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 blah, blah. And when you talk about the like muting something or like turning down the volume as something not as like, oh, I don't want to take this in, but as like, I actually don't need to put myself through the things that will definitely trigger me, and like I actually am more capable of like being the me that I need to be in the apocalypse or in the world, or are they the same thing, if I like have turned the volume down sometimes, is one thing that I hear you saying. I don't know if that feels true.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That as a very, like, body experience.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Whew.
Poem?
Yeah, poem. Okay, so
I want to read it together.
Oh, my God. Wait, can we alternate lines?
Yes.
Okay,
please.
It's kind of behind my
We're going to carry,
bed.
We're carrying the laptop over to the wall. Okay.
And moving my towel. Okay.
I can't see it from here,
here,
but
you get off the bed. This is a big logistical event, but
okay,
we're gonna do it.
I got it.
Okay. Alternating or together? Together.
Alternating.
Okay, you start with the title and the thing.
Okay. Elegy by Aracelis Guirmé.
What to do with this knowledge that our living is not guaranteed?
Perhaps one day you touch the young branch
of something beautiful, and it grows and grows.
Despite your birthdays and the death certificate.
And it one day shades the heads of something beautiful.
Or makes itself useful to the nest. Walk out
of your house, then, believing in this.
Nothing else matters.
All above us is the touching.
of strangers and parrots.
Some of them human.
Some of them not human.
Listen to me. I am telling you.
A true thing. This is the only kingdom.
The kingdom of touching.
The touches of the disappearing things.
Oh! Oh, wow. Okay.
It's so true.
Wow. That is a good moment of transition.
Yeah. Thank you, listeners, for asking for
the phone to be read. Thank you, Bachi. Wow. Well, I was going to say that sometimes what I have people do is like, oh, like, not tie together the threads, but like, what are threads that you want to pull out? But I do feel that the next question we'll talk about is related to this. So
absolutely.
Will you read it and then I'll read it a second time?
Okay. It's this one, right?
Yeah, it's the first one.
Will I ever read my journals is the question.
Will I ever read my journals? This one, you do have to start. And I just, can I share what you said to me about?
Yeah, go for it. Oh my God.
We were like going through the questions and Ted was like, oh, like when you said that you catalog your questions, I was like, oh, maybe I should do that. But then I would have to like go through so many years. And I was like, how many years? And you said you've been journaling since what? Since like second grade? Like, consistently over time?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Since, like, 2004.
Oh, my God. You, like, angel among us. Wow. Ah. That's, like, okay, so
it's a blessing and a curse.
It is a blessing and a curse. And this I know, this I think about all the time, which is part of why I was, like, I don't know how you feel about the question, but I was really excited to talk about this with you. So, can you, will you start a, like, what is... It, to the extent that it's possible to give some general version of a, like, what...
Oh, wow.
What do you... Well, I mean, or we could simplify it to, like, this question is not, what does journaling mean to you? But, like, literally, will you ever read your journal? So you can... We can start with the, like, simplest version of that, which is, like, what is your relationship to, like, the things that you have... The archives. What is your relationship to the archives?
Okay. Yeah. Before I answer those, I wanna tell you that I'm gonna be coming for you with a question.
Sorry, she just kissed me on the cheek. Because you guys have to understand, like, Ted.
I know. This is incredible.
Yeah.
I really, really need to know where this question came for you. Mm. And also, like, it's just so it's just so beautiful that we're on a show about journaling in general.
Yeah.
Like, this show wouldn't be here without you journaling.
No,
so,
it's true.
Like, I want to know if this, like, question means something incredibly different to you than it did when you first asked it.
We can get there, but you have to go first.
Okay, I completely forgot what I was supposed to talk about.
Oh, what's your relationship to this question?
Wow. Oh, yes. Okay, so I have kept almost all of the journals that I wrote in, oh my God, my handwriting has gotten so much better. There are some pages that I will go back to. Like, they feel like a pathway that I've kind of walked physically, like a route that I've done 100 times. And so, like, I know to go back to them. Like, I know where the book will fall open, right? And which pages to get to.
Do you know that from, like, how did it come to be that those were the pages that it falls open to?
Mm.
Or, like, how did you start going back to them, if that makes sense? If there's an answer to that.
I don't have an answer to that. Okay. I think maybe I was curious at different stages in my life, and I would come back to answer different questions. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I, I had a pretty severe mental illness when I was like 9 years old, right? So by the time I was like 22 and I was like, oh, wow, here's all the documentation about that. It was really, really like that was the source of the curiosity for me then. And that was like a big, big one.
Yeah.
I still have not finished that really.
Yeah.
But there were other times where it was just like, what was I thinking about last week?
Yeah. So a follow-up question that I have to that, something that I know, actually a question that appears on this list at some point is my question to myself of like, am I, have I always been me or am I recent? And when you were saying that, it sounds like one experience that you've had is of the like, oh, here's the documentation, like, oh, that's not a new thing. Like that's, I can read myself from my own archives. And I am curious if you like, do both experiences feel true to you? Both the like reading yourself and being like, oh my God, wow, I'm me and I've been me, and the experience of like, who is that exactly? Or like, yeah, which one feels more true? I don't know. Mm. One, some version of that kind of clustery question.
Wow. It feels like all of them, all of me are present in me. Like I have a little army
like
of
Russian
me.
Russian doll. Way or in like a each of your limbs is a like
oh like I'm like a full crowd of me at every stage of my life.
Ted put his arms out at that time and I just imagined like Ted with his arm around Ted and like just like a whole
all under the wings.
It's like that Instagram filter where you can like see your face a million times. I'll show it to you afterwards. Okay. Maybe it'll feel like you're the army of you.
Wow.
Anyway. Yeah. You feel like you are an army of you. One more question about the visual of that. Do you feel like you are an army of, or like army is such a word, but like an army of the you that you are now, or of like when you picture that, are you like, here's 9-year-old Ted and here's 20-year-old and 22 and 16 and like, are they all represented in your
around? Yeah. Some of them are completely missing actually. I say that I've been journaling for over a decade now, but there were periods where I would skip an entire year, and like you'll see an entry where it was like, well, so sophomore year happened.
Damn.
Oh well. So like there are parts of me that are like completely lost. Like I journaled maybe once in 2020.
Wow.
And yeah, so 23-year-old me is lost. 16-year-old me is missing.
Whoa.
But I think there are like maybe 3 or 4 really distinct stages of my life that I feel like I understand.
Well,
yeah.
Can I ask about the missings?
Yeah.
Like what? Because I know, or just to frame, like I know that one anxiety that I've had over time about journaling is the like. Is the like, what'd you say? Document? Yeah, I mean, I think for years, until I got into the flow that I currently have been in for a couple of years, but until that time, it was always something that either was like, felt like it was verging on the compulsive and I had to do it every day, and if I didn't do it every day, then I was never going to do it again. And that was like such high stakes to have on this thing.
Like, you were afraid of, like, were you afraid of losing what was happening?
Yes.
Okay.
All the time.
Okay.
Constantly.
Okay, because I heard you talk about this on another episode, and I was like, I want to talk about this.
Okay. Wow. Yes. Afraid of that so much, and so, like, what is your, like, when you think, and so, oh, I was going to say, like, I think a lot about the archive, and also about, like, am I journaling as something that, like, shapes the future or that reflects the past, and like I think that specifically is the question about like will I read my journals, like am I journaling because that helps me like process something that has already happened, or because I want to be able to read it in the future and be like, oh, like this is what happened, like here's how I describe that. And so one, I'm curious about that for you in general, and two, for the missing selves, like how does that land for you in your present self?
I just had so many thoughts when we were talking. Well, first of all, I think I wanted to hold you in the anxiety of like time slipping through your fingers.
Yeah.
I feel like that. I feel that so much.
Yeah.
I mean, in reality, like those parts of me that were missing, they're not missing at all. They're just missing from the pages. I think it's, as you were talking, I was also struck by just like how beautiful it is that it is completely impossible to document the present. And yet we're doing it anyway. Like, what is that? You know, like anyone would have thrown up their hands and just been like, I'll just experience it. I'll whatever. Right. What were you going to say?
No. You finish with that.
No, that was it.
Don't throw my cow at me.
Yeah. That's, I guess that's what I was thinking.
Well, okay. I think what I was going to say was, like, what is your, I don't know, I forget which, like, chunk of questions you scrolled through, but, or, like, relative to the thing I'm about to say, but I know that there's a lot of questions that I have in general in my life, and certainly on this document, about, like, being present, and, like, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And for me, sometimes what I worry about, or, like, what I've thought about, is, like, in general, I think I've assumed that it's true that journaling makes me feel more present and more in my body and more like here and with it. And then sometimes I have these moments where I'm like, wait, but I feel that I think that this has really changed for me over the last half year, which is a whole other conversation. But I think I used to and hope to not again, but I used to constantly have this anxiety of like, even in the present moment, I would experience things as if I was, like, describing them to myself. I would, like, live in the world as if I was, like, writing in my journal or as if I was telling you a story later on or whatever. Mm. And so I don't think that that is, like, a fault of journaling, but I do think that that's something that I have sometimes wondered about for myself, is, like, to what extent am I think this way about pictures, too. Like, I take a picture and then I immediately look at it and I'm like, okay, well, that didn't capture a moment in the past that created the memory that I will now remember. Like, what the hell? So to that question of all of that about, like, being present and the relationship, if there is one, between that and journaling, like, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that and your experience of that, if that feels resonant or different in any way.
One thing that I have had to come to accept is that, like, I can't be in my body every time that I want to be in my body. Like, I will float away sometimes, and I can't, no amount of, like, grounding techniques are gonna bring me back. Like, I just have to wait for it to ride itself out. So I think maybe, like, I've had different relationships with that over the years.
That's
but
what
I think
I was gonna ask.
yeah but right now it feels like I've let go of the I've let go of the idea that I can be like it fully in control of like my body and my memory. And I'm not saying that you are feeling that way. I think maybe like that's the dilemma that you reminded me of.
Because when you described that, of the, like, sometimes it'll just float away, and then you said you've had different relationships to that over time, the first thought I had was, like, it sounds like at least the current iteration of the relationship feels closer to acceptance than what my relationship is to, and so it also makes me feel like, wow, like, that is something that, like, people both experience the same thing that I'm describing, but also it's possible to have a different relationship to that thing. Is that for you a thing that is connected to, like, archiving of self, or
what's connected to archive?
The being in body or not in body or embodied or whatever, all those things.
Being in body connected to archive.
Connected to like the
Ooh, yes. The question. Sorry, to repeat the question is: will I ever read my journals?
Which also. You said you read some pages. I'm like, did we answer it? Yeah, we answered.
Yeah, we did.
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. Good night, everyone.
It means I have power.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, I think it is a very, like, in-your-body experience to be journaling. And I think maybe, like, multiple things need to align. So there was another question that we didn't end up doing that was, like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but yeah, I'm not seeing it. But my thought was like, how do you change? You know?
Oh yeah.
How do you learn lessons?
Yeah. Is it this one?
Yep.
The why do some lessons take so much time to sink in? Parentheses. Will I ever change?
Yes, that was the one question that lost in the dice roll.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about like you. Yeah, how do you learn something over time? I think maybe like maybe not being your body, but like being in your body, or like leaning on the page, or leaning on both your body and the page when it's all too much. Like I think maybe the reason why like I don't journal sometimes and then I just really lean heavily into it is like because I'll be wrestling with a question about my life that I can't, it's like an itch, right? And I'm grasping really hard at it. And there are periods where I'm like going through that. And yeah, I guess maybe it's like a becoming, you know, and that's what I'm, yeah, I wonder if that's like, if it's not even for future me, if it's just like to be in that like ocean of process, but somehow it just ends up being like linear lines on a page. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, so not to be so like, oh, we can tie in all the questions, but literally
do it.
Like I think, okay, so the question again that Ted just mentioned, which was one of Ted's questions, which is why do some lessons take so much time to sink in? Parentheses, will I ever change? Was that like, I think for me, one experience that I have, and to be honest, when I'm like doing generally well, like both of the things that I'm about to say actually feel good and feel like acceptance, which is that I'll like read, you know, through an old journal and some of the things I'll see, I'm like, to the point I made before, some of the things I'll see, I'm like, oh my God, I'm the same as I ever am. And it'll make me roll my eyes. Cause I'm like, why have I been asking the question?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
How do I do this habit for like literally
dying? I've been writing the million same thing years. For 5 years. Yeah, oh my God.
But so right, in an angsty moment that I'm like, why can't I change? But in a good moment, I'm like, cute. You like you have a self. But also similarly, in a like what's good in a good moment and bad in a bad moment is that I'll also have the experience of being like, oh my God, you know what? That's a question that I was asking all the time, and I actually am not asking it all the time right now. It's still there, but I'm not asking it all the time. And in a bad moment that I'm like, I'm so fickle and I'm so shallow and I like go through these like phases and questions and blah, blah, blah. But in a good moment, I'm like, cute. Like you had a thing and then you now are in a different phase and you'll come back to that phase. And like, that's fine. So
oh my
I do
God.
Think this, I think these are the same question. Just
wow.
to say that.
Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, it's time in a moment to move to the round,
I'm
the
so
lightning
excited.
Round. Is there anything in these questions, honestly, in any of these three questions, that you either want, like, another, one more thread you want to tug on, or, like, a question that you want to, that you are left with, or that you want to leave other people with before we go, before we do the lightnings?
Wow. I'm just sitting in the whole thing that we've just spun.
Yeah. Tapestry spinning, etc.
I think about textiles. That's how I think.
Oh my God.
Textiles. But I think like
a dream.
You
emerged from a dream.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I
didn't.
Oh my God.
I think about textiles. That's how I think. Oh, okay.
Okay. You know what?
I have nothing to say to you. I have so many things to say.
Wow. I think.
Yes, I don't. I mean, there's no spinning that's needed.
Oh yes, I do want to say, like, we survive the apocalypse by feeding each other.
Food question mark.
Yeah, food question mark. That was another question that didn't make it.
Yeah.
To the final round.
We'll but, get there
yeah.
in a minute. We survive the apocalypse by feeding each other.
Yeah.
What a note to end on. Okay, Ted, you ready?
Okay.
I'm going to shoot these at you. You can also shoot them at me, but I'm going to shoot them at you first.
Okay. I'm closing my eyes.
Okay, okay. Is water alive?
Absolutely. Why would you even ask that?
When will there be reverie?
The summer solstice.
Ugh. Wow, I just had such a flash. food question mark?
Yes. Yes. Food is life. Food is your body. Food is literally building up your body with life. Okay, next question.
What does radical hospitality look like right now?
Food. I'm still thinking about food.
How can God let the people suffer so?
I think we're standing brokenhearted in the temple, and we're looking up at the sunlight coming in, and trying to figure out what hope means. I don't know. I just have a visual.
What is the right size for the world to feel?
Hug-sized.
Ugh. I don't have any more questions. Oh, perfect. Okay. I mean, you could ask me one.
I'm asking you.
You could ask me like two.
Okay.
I mean, just time.
Okay. How to break through? Okay. How to break through numbness without oversaturating in trauma / details of the bad things.
Turn down the volume on the horror movie.
Wow. Good one. Good one. How to look forward instead of only back.
You can reread your journals, but don't only reread your journals. Mm. Also write in them. I don't know. Ted, yes. What is a question that has been on your mind? And these do have to be fast because we must end soon.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
A question that's been on my mind.
Yeah.
I don't have one.
Good, because we already talked about some of
your great, yeah, perfect. We already have them in here.
And who is the person who you want to hear on the show?
Oh, definitely Sarah Palmer.
Whoa.
The last person I gave a haircut to.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
You're in my haircut chain.
Oh my God. What an amazing.
It's like a haircut and radio show chain.
Wow. Okay. That's an amazing recommendation.
Okay.
Cool. Wow, everyone, and you, first of all, you, thank you so much, you squishy little self that is on my bed. I'm so grateful to you, and also to everyone who's listening, whether you are in my house or in the house, the house of my heart, and Ted's heart. We love you, and we want to hear your thoughts both on content, but also always your feedback on the show and feedback on things that could be different or anything, all the things. You do want to say anything so quickly before I play our final music?
I just want to thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
Ooh, okay. Stay tuned. See you here next week, same time, same place, with a very special guest as every week. Another person who will be in person, God willing. And we are out for this week with the final song.
Oh, river, wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style.
Someday, watch me make up my heart, break up wherever you're going. I'm going that way. Two drifters off to see the world. There's such a crazy world to see. We're all chasing after all the same. Chasing after